Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
I can see clearly now. The rain is gone.
Nice. That was a particularly good one for our topic today.
Yes, we're talking about iCloud, which is a new service, a new as the recording of this podcast anyway, service from Apple. And it's in fact so new that it's just in beta right now. Which we're like, hey, Apple, who do you think you are? Google?
Sometimes. Not all of it's in beta. Some of it is still slated to come out. We had a lot of requests from people after Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference keynote.
Which was in early June. 2011.
And they announced, basically they gave updates on three major things, one of which was no secret at all. That was the new Apple OS X Lion. The next version.
Which had been announced quite some time ago.
Then people were really expecting to hear about the new iOS. The operating system for iPod Touch, iPhone, and iPad.
Yeah, so it'd be iOS 5.
Yep. People were pretty sure that they were going to hear, and they did. Well, of course, it's a developers conference, so you would expect them to talk about the software available for...
Right, the platforms.
The platforms.
Yeah.
But the third, and the one that we're going to talk about today, is iCloud, and that's... again, something that people really expected. In fact, people actually identified the logo before it before it got announced.
People called it the most poorly kept secret for this particular conference, which, I mean, everyone was pretty sure that Apple was going to come out with some sort of cloud-based service because of movements from Amazon and Google and the fact that Apple had purchased some other companies that were related to cloud services. Everything pointed toward that.
The giant data center they were building in North Carolina.
Right. But the details behind the service were still pretty fuzzy. And then actually, to tell you the truth, even almost a month later, the details are still a little scarce. There's some stuff we know, and then there's some stuff we suspect, and there's some stuff that just hasn't been answered yet.
Yeah, and it's funny because with the building of this data center, which has been going on for, what, probably a couple of years now.
Yeah.
I mean, people knew that Apple was building a very, very large building in North Carolina. When you see other companies doing this, people like Google and Facebook, you realize that there are probably going to be quite a few employees in there. There's probably going to be a whole lot of hardware in there.
Yeah.
Especially if they're looking for giant sources of power, like Google, you know, building along the Columbia River,
right,
for hydroelectricity. You know, there's going to be, so you can take some inferences from the way they're behaving. And a lot of the speculation revolved around the possibility that there would be a cloud-based iTunes service and or a streaming video service to rival, you know, someone like Netflix or Amazon Prime. You know, something where Apple
Hulu.
You would subscribe to, or I guess in this case, Hulu Plus, where you would pay a subscription fee and you'd get your music and your video on download. I think that's why people have been sort of nonplussed about what actually came out.
But a little perplexed.
Or a little perplexed. And I think there are some of that is sort of in there. And I don't know that you can rule out those things showing up in the service later.
Yeah, it's just that the wording has been very careful to avoid that kind of stuff recently.
Yeah. Yeah. And what rolled out is actually, I think, compared to some of the other services that we've been talking about recently, sort of compelling.
Yeah, no, there are definitely some advantages and some disadvantages of iCloud if you compare it to similar services. So let's kind of talk about what iCloud is and what it is not.
Okay.
I'll start off with what it is not, in the sense that as far as we know right now, it is not going to be any sort of streaming service. So in other words, you will not be streaming content from a cloud storage system to a device in order to enjoy it on the fly. So unlike some of the other services, like the Amazon Music Player service, where you can store music in an Amazon account and then access a streaming file version of that song and listen to it, you will not necessarily be able to do that on iCloud, at least according to the way they've worded things so far and the way the system works right now.
Well, that's sort of, pardon the pun, seriously, hazy.
Yes.
There is one feature that sort of suggests that there is something like that. Should we get into the features?
Yeah, let's do that.
Maybe we can touch on that when we get closer. The iCloud website is actually a great place to look for information if you want to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what I use for my primary source. Basically, what they want to try to do overall is to give you the ability to sync your information.
Yeah.
We'll just use it in a general sense here. Different kinds of files to multiple devices, your iOS devices and your computers, and not just Macs, but PCs as well.
Hey, how about Linux?
Well,
no, sorry.
No.
At least not yet.
Yes. That would be Ubuntu 1.
Yeah.
And I have an account there too, actually. Anyway. So for one thing, where should we start? Should we start with the music thing?
Let's start with storage.
Okay.
So basically your iCloud account would be a storage account where you could store, now primarily in the beta version, you're storing things like apps, books, and music.
Right.
And, by signing up, you get 5 gigabytes of storage for free. Now here are two things that make this really compelling.
Mm-hmm.
It will go through your iTunes library,
mm-hmm.
and will match any song that you purchase through iTunes. Since you're registering it through your iTunes account, any song that you purchase through iTunes automatically becomes part of your iCloud storage locker, we'll call it,
sure.
But does not count against your 5 gigabytes of storage. So if you've purchased, you know, 5,000 songs through iTunes over the history of your iTunes account, all those songs are going to show up in your iCloud locker without you having to have that count against your 5 gigabytes of storage.
Uh-huh.
And you can share that information with any other device that's hooked up through your iTunes account up to 10 devices.
Uh-huh.
which is another big move, right? Five used to be the magic number for things like that. And you can do it wirelessly, which is the beautiful thing. So you could say, let's say that you have a desktop computer at home, and that's like your media computer. Mm-hmm. You have a, we'll say it's a Mac, because this happens to be me. I've got a Mac media computer at home, and that has my iTunes library on it. And then I sync my iPod to my iTunes library. So whenever I buy a new song, I have to sync my iPod in order to get it. Now, I've got an older iPod, but let's say that I get a newer iPod. And then let's say I buy some music on my my iPod Touch or my iPhone. Then I have to sync my device to my computer. I have to, you know, it's a whole lot of steps in order to make sure that your music collection is equal across multiple devices.
Yes, and it's a pain in the neck too to have to restore your music player, especially if you've got a large music collection. It even on a faster connection on a USB 2, for example, which is, you know, I know not necessarily the fastest. There are other standards like USB 3 and Thunderbolt that are technically faster, but I mean reasonably fast by today's standards. It's still going to take you a while to upload, you know, gigs of data, these songs, to your iPod again.
Right. So with iCloud, using your iTunes library to start with, in the purchase history you have to start with, it means that you don't have to upload those songs. That's a huge advantage over things like the Amazon and Google approaches, where you do have to upload your files to that cloud storage in order to store them there. Right. So if I have 5,000 songs on my computer and I want to use Google's approach, I have to actually upload those songs first to my Google account. Mm-hmm. So that's going to take a while, because upload speeds tend to be slower than download speeds, because, you know, people download more than they upload. So upstream is a slower data transfer rate. So if you're uploading a lot of content, depending on your internet connection, it can take a long, long time. So iTunes approach there saves you all that time, right? Your purchase history becomes your library immediately in the iCloud. On top of that, if you have songs in your iTunes library that you did not purchase through iTunes, let's say that you had a collection of CDs that you ripped from using iTunes, and you've got them in your library, but you didn't purchase them through iTunes. Mm-hmm. Well, if iTunes has those albums and those songs in its library, that's got like 18 million songs in the iTunes library. So if those songs appear in the iTunes library, what will happen is the service will identify those songs and match it to the song that's in the iTunes library.
Yeah. So basically, you know, say you have, I don't know, a Coldplay album in your thing. I'm just picking Coldplay. It's a band that I don't particularly like. I just picked something. I was going to say U2. I don't know why.
I don't like either of them, so it's all
really?
Right.
Okay.
Not a big U2 fan.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say you have a record that's in your collection and you want to add it to your cloud storage. As soon as it recognizes that you have that in there, it says, oh, well, we've already got that. We'll just give you, you don't have to upload it. We'll put it in here for you. And the files that they're using are 256K iTunes Plus level files.
Right. So it might even be that, let's say that when you ripped the CD, you ripped it at a lower rate, then technically the higher rates, what it essentially equates to is a higher rate in general means better sound or more accurate to the original version sound.
So the more compression you use, the smaller bit rate that you encode the file at basically means that you're leaving out more information in the music file.
Yeah.
So it's not going to have as high fidelity.
Depending upon the sensitivity of your hearing, you may or may not be able to detect that with certain songs. My hearing has been to the point where I really don't tend to notice unless it's a really, really, really bad transfer.
What?
So for me, it's not as big a deal, but it's a nice thing to know that iTunes is going to match your songs and probably match them to a quality that is superior to whatever it was you were using before.
Yeah. And this is where I'm a little fuzzy, because it suggests that those files are stored in the cloud, and therefore that's how you would access them, rather than having it, you know, download back to your music player.
I think, It's worded in a very vague way, but based upon what I've been reading,
yeah,
it sounds to me that you would then, let's say again, we'll use the example of my desktop computer at home.
Okay.
And I've got my master music collection on there, and then I've got several iDevices. It sounds to me that even the iTunes Match part would just mean that if my brand new iPhone, I brought my brand new iPhone home and registered it and connected it to my iTunes account, it would then download all those songs. It wouldn't stream them. It would download them and store them locally on the iPhone. So that's my interpretation based upon the wording. And again, like okay. we said, it's pretty vague. Maybe it's vague because they plan to open up streaming later. It may be that streaming is still a sensitive topic with the music labels that iTunes has partnered with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think they went with the download method is because, you know, they actually had to partner with these music labels as opposed to Amazon's approach where they're like, you know, this is just another way of accessing content you already own.
Yeah.
iTunes wanted this to be more of a widespread data management system.
Yeah.
Where you could have you can have access to the same data across multiple devices. So I think it's still upload and download. It's not streaming. That's based upon my interpretation of what they've written.
And I understand that. The other piece being that we've talked about basically the free option here.
Yeah.
Because basically anyone with an account, an iTunes account should be able to get iCloud just as part of the service. But you can, they're offering an option for $24.99 a year where you can hold your entire collection. That would be, you know, for a lot of people, that's going to be more than an iPod will hold. Well, depending on the size of your iPod and your music collection, but you know, people with very large music collections, may have gigabytes or even terabytes worth of music. And, you know, there's not an iPod yet that will hold a terabyte.
Now granted,
give it a week.
If all of your music and all of your books and all of your apps were purchased through the iTunes store, then the 5 gigabytes is all you need anyway, because it doesn't count against the 5 gigabytes.
Right.
It's when you start talking about music that is outside of the iTunes library when you start having problems. So let's say that, you've ripped a CD from a local band that's not on iTunes and you want that music available. Well, then you're going to actually have to pay that yearly fee to have the option to upload those files to your, I guess not, because you've got the 5 gigabytes, but those songs will count against the 5 gigabytes of storage.
Maybe they're a particularly prolific band with many, many records.
The iTunes Match service is kind of interesting. That actually has the, a limit on it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a 25,000 song limit.
Huh.
So if you've got, you know, if you've got a whole bunch of CDs that you've ripped, and you may have to start making some choices once you're like, oh, well, this is 24,875. Which one's going to be 24,876?
Well,
I should make a Meatloaf song so that way I get more quantity.
So,
yes.
Again, we were talking earlier about the, I'm sorry, you always throw me off with Meatloaf.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of hungry myself.
The thing is, it's not just going to be about video and audio. I mean, there's really not a video option here.
Yet.
But there are other compelling bits to this service. Sorry for the, again, bits, pun. Mm-hmm. For example, PhotoStream. PhotoStream behaves a little similarly to the music portion of the service. If you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch or an iPad with a camera, and you take a photo while you're out with it, it should use iCloud automatically to sync it. Let's say you have one of all of the above plus a computer where you have an iTunes account. It should download everything over to the different machines. So you've been on a trip and you took your phone with you and you've taken pictures, it will sync to your home computer so that you can show them off there without you having to upload them. Likewise, if you take pictures with a standalone digital camera and you upload them, say, through iPhoto on a Mac, you would be able to share those to your phone and your iPod Touch and your iPad, assuming you have all those devices, without having to take an extra step to do that. It does that automatically. Now, it only will save your last, it keeps what they call a rolling collection of your last 1,000 photos. So you get into 1,015, 1,016, the first 15 and 16 photos chronologically will start to drop off.
Right.
They won't go anywhere, but they won't be in your iCloud anymore.
Right, right. Well, the, and I thought I would go ahead and mention this because I'm sure we're going to get email or Facebook comments or Twitter comments.
Okay.
So the $24.99 a year, that's what gives you the access to iTunes Match.
Oh.
So without – even though as far as I can tell, the music that would be matched through iTunes, I don't think that would be counted against your 5 gigabytes, but I'm not entirely sure. I know that any music you've purchased through iTunes will not count against the 5 gigabytes of storage.
Uh-huh.
The music that's been matched through iTunes, that might actually count against your 5 gigabytes. So this is the music that you own that is also on iTunes, but you did not purchase it through iTunes.
I see.
So I know there is the yearly fee, which is $24.99.
Yeah.
And based upon this, I'm guessing that does count against your storage space, which might be why they said the 25,000 song limit. I'm not entirely certain of that. Like I said, a lot of this is vague right now, and I just got back from vacation and I haven't had a chance to play with this yet. But yeah, it is interesting. They do a comparison of Apple's iCloud service against Amazon service and Google service on Apple, so you can guess how it shapes up. But they talk about how the methods, like the fact that you do not need to scan your music collection to start off in iCloud. Anything that you've purchased through iTunes will automatically be put up there, so you don't have to upload it. And then, of course, the iTunes Match, if you go with that method, again, you don't need to upload that music. It just has to be matched to iTunes library, and then that will be put into your iCloud as well. Whereas with Amazon and Google, you both have to upload those files to that system in order to use those.
Mm-hmm.
And then that there is a specific app for the desktop computers and laptops, which is called iTunes. You may have heard of it, that you use to access the iCloud. Whereas Amazon and Google, you access through a web browser.
Right.
That talks about that, you know, it has the upgrade option to the 256K rate for the songs, and that the price to have access to 5,000 or 20,000 songs is the same. It's $24.99 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You can have up to 20,000 songs that way. But if you wanted to do that with Amazon, the price for 5,000 songs would be $50 a year, and for 20,000 songs would be $200 a year. And then for Google, it's ? because it hasn't been mentioned yet.
Yeah.
So
they're still hashing that out.
And we should also mention that, you know, we've talked a lot about music because obviously the tie-in with iTunes means that that's where a lot of the focus is going. And we've also talked about, you know, any books you've purchased through iTunes or any apps you've purchased through iTunes will live in the iCloud as well. But you can also have other kinds of files and documents stored in your iCloud.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get away from that, I wanted to point out that iTunes Match is scheduled to hit this fall.
Yeah.
I believe that's supposed to be concurrent with the iOS 5 release. But you can get your new and past purchases synced now via beta.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten to mention that. So if you've bought music on your home computer and you want to get it on, say you forgot to sync the music over, you should be able to see it in iTunes on an iPhone or an iPad, for example, sitting in front of me where my notes are. And I should be able to, if I wanted to turn off my notes and go look, I should theoretically be able to see that past stuff and download it if I want to that device,
and
which is again in beta already now, but.
Yeah, and you can set the download feature to automatic if you wanted to, which means that every time you purchased a song through iTunes or an app or a book through iTunes, anytime you purchased one, it would automatically download to all devices that were set to automatic.
I don't think I would want to do that.
You can also do it manually. So
because I use my devices separately for separate reasons.
And a lot of people do, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people might have a specific iOS device that they use when they're working out. Mm-hmm. And they have a workout song list, and they don't want their Broadway musical list to be mixed up with their workout song list because, you know, Put on a Happy Face is not the song they want to hear while they're on the elliptical. So, there are reasons why you might want to have some of your devices set to manual, especially let's say that you have an enormous music collection and you mm-hmm. don't want your smartphone to be completely bogged down with music when you have other stuff you want to put on there.
Right.
Or you don't want the same apps to go to all of your iDevices across the entire spectrum. There are reasons why you might want to set it to manual instead of automatic.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who just want to have the same experience across all their platforms. So they want everything to be accessed everywhere. But then moving back to the other kind of files that you can store, in a way, iCloud is replacing Mobile Me.
Yes.
And so ultimately, once it's in full version, once it debuts, and I'm assuming it's going to do that around the time of iOS 5 as well.
I believe so.
Then you'll be able to access things like calendar and documents, things like that across your various devices, and it's all automatically synchronized.
Mm-hmm.
So just like if you have, if you're in the Google environment, the Google ecosystem, and you're using Google Calendar, you know, if you're using that to access, if you're accessing that with like, say, an Android smartphone, and then you switch over and you access it through your desktop, it's already synchronized properly that way. Same kind of thing, except this is with Apple's approach as opposed to Google's approach.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more functionality there that's going to appear as we get closer to the official launch. I like the approach Apple's done here. I like the fact that iCloud acts as an online backup system for your music. So let's say that your computer suffers a catastrophic failure and you can't recover stuff off your hard drive. Well, then you still know that all of those purchases are still there. You know, it used to be back in the day that you could contact Apple and get recover songs that you had lost through some, you know, other catastrophe.
Right.
But it wasn't necessarily easy to do. And now they've really streamlined that through iCloud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fairly large shift in that respect. And in another respect, it's Apple's business as usual in that this approach, again, really stresses that the system works great if you own a lot of Apple devices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, they're trying to, you know, it's not completely closed off. You can use it with the PC, but whether or not you're eventually going to be able to use this with other kinds of mobile devices, that's less likely.
Yeah, it's we've had this discussion, and most of our listeners, I think, are up on where we are on the benefits and detriments of the open versus the closed system.
This
is people complain about Apple's closed system, but it enables much tighter integration than you would have, because Apple's got the control over it,
right,
than you would have with other systems. Although, you know, there is a benefit to being open as well. So, that's why it's so seamless for these systems, is
right,
that Apple's got so much control over it.
Yeah, it's why you say that Apple stuff just works, because it's designed to work in a very specific way. The problem is that, not necessarily a problem, but the flip side of that coin is that it's going to work the way they intend it to work, not necessarily the way you would like it to work.
And so you may not have as much control over that, but if you like the way it works,
then
it may not be such an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're like, this is totally the way I want it to work, well, then there's no issue, right? It's the people who like to hack and fiddle with things that can get a little frustrated with Apple. And it's not saying that their approach is right or wrong. It's just a specific approach.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can see both sides of that argument.
Yes, I can too.
One of the things that I do like, then this is not what I would consider a very glamorous feature, but I think it's really cool. And it threatens people, not necessarily Amazon or Google, with their services because, although Google has Google Docs, what they're calling documents in the cloud on the website, where there is an API, or there are APIs built into iCloud, where developers, and again, this was announced at WWDC, developers can embed these APIs into their software so that it will enable people who are using Apple devices to save their documents directly into the iCloud. So theoretically, you would be able to use third-party applications and have them seamlessly access your information, you know, read from and store to your iCloud account, which would enable, again, more integration with multiple devices. I think that's pretty cool. It does sort of make it more challenging for people like Dropbox.
Yeah.
I have accounts on multiple cloud storage companies too, so I don't mean to single them out specifically. I do like people like Box.net and SugarSync, but Dropbox has been really good about, in particular, about making their APIs available so that the other applications that I use can read from and store to my Dropbox. Now, the iCloud is bigger.
Yeah.
The amount of storage is bigger. So it may force Dropbox, which is a much smaller company, to upgrade the amount of storage
hopefully.
It has, or, you know.
Hopefully in a way that doesn't compromise their password system.
Right, right.
That's a different story.
Yes, that is a different story. But it's, you know, the same kind of idea where you can use different applications from other people and, you know, still get access to your cloud storage seamlessly without having to worry about it. They're also talking about the possibility, or they're also talking about, it's not a possibility, they're going to do it, syncing things like your address book and your email and contacts
yeah.
between multiple devices, including Outlook for the PC,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to be very handy for people who use their mobile Apple devices on for work, as well as, you know, your personal stuff. Because then you'll have, assuming, again, you'll have a lot more information there, a lot more email, maybe multiple accounts, email
sure.
accounts, multiple calendars, lots and lots of contacts. That would be very useful for these kinds of things. And I think that's one of those things that made people go, that's not what I was really hoping for. But I think it's something that would be extremely useful for
yeah.
a lot of people.
And it's kind of funny. I read on CNET an article by Josh Lowenson that
yeah.
was
mm-hmm.
published just yesterday, when, at the time of recording this podcast anyway, that that there's an analyst, Gene Munster, who believes that iCloud might be an indication that Apple is developing an Apple television, not Apple TV, but an actual television set that incorporates Apple technology in it, kind of
right.
like the Google televisions that we've seen, and that the iCloud would be the place where, you know, if you were to purchase television shows or movies or rent them, that they would go into your iCloud account, and then you would be able to access them through something like an Apple television.
Yeah.
And that that is something that he expects to see incorporated in iCloud in the somewhat near future. It might be a year from now, but that would be something that we would see pop up later.
Yeah, it's the Apple television itself has been, again, sort of like the iPad
yeah.
before it, has been rumored for, I would say, probably at least a year now.
Yeah.
As of the time we've recorded this, maybe longer than that. So, you know, there is a possibility. Of course, they do have Apple TV, and the iCloud will allow you to sync with an Apple TV too.
Yeah.
At least on a limited basis. They mentioned it specifically with the photos, the photo stream. You should be able to pull up your photos and show them on your TV, if you have an Apple TV as well. So
yeah.
it seems like that's not even remotely out of the realm of possibility. It's just whether or not they're ready to gear up and launch that.
Yeah, the biggest question I've heard remains, will there ever be a streaming element to this so that you can access the music that's in your iCloud without having to download it? So let's say you want to use your iPhone and you want to listen to the music that you have, but you don't want to take up the memory space. Like, you know, that would be for someone who, let's say they want an iPhone, but they don't want to shell out the money to get the top of the line, you know, iPhone with the most storage. They would rather go with the more basic model and then use streaming in order to access their music. Now, streaming comes with its own problems. Usually you have to have a really fast connection in order to do it. So it might have to be over Wi-Fi, or it might have to be over some sort of 4G network. But You know, there, I know that there's a, there are a lot of questions about that, especially people are saying, well, why did you buy Lala if you're not using a streaming service? And again, we just don't know yet if iCloud will ultimately, allow for some sort of streaming element. Just right now, it just doesn't seem like that's the case.
Well, companies that are as big as Amazon, Google, and Apple, who are offering these services and similar services, you know, they have an enormous installed customer base. If it was a brand new company with a growing customer base, and you could roll out the beta in a general slower fashion, mm-hmm. And give, you know, a couple thousand people access at a time, you would be able to have a lot more control over that. Rolling out a streaming service to all the iTunes customers, say just in the United States.
Yeah, you just need to upgrade your iTunes to iTunes 10.3 and then you can access the iCloud stuff.
Yeah. It just seems like it would be something of an enormous task, and they Apple's famous for holding off until they feel they've done it right, and not always the case that they have, but
yeah.
But you know, they would rather wait. In fact, they let we knew that this something along these lines was coming, and Amazon and Google both released their music services first.
Right.
And of course they did so without securing agreements with all the music companies as Apple did.
Right.
And it remains to be seen too whether they will take offense to that. It's been rumored that they will.
There's even been talk about the 24.99 fee. Some people have called that a piracy amnesty fee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the music that you rip from your CDs, that's the general idea of the iTunes Match service. But we all know there are plenty of people out there who have songs that are in their iTunes library that they got through either,
they ripped the Friends CD.
Yeah, ripping the Friends CD is probably the least, the most quote unquote innocent of the little piracy of attempts, or they may have gone to some peer-to-peer network in the past and they downloaded, several albums and they never bought them. So some people have suggested that annual fee, which, a portion of which is going to these music labels.
Yeah.
That annual fee is actually essentially the music labels seeing a way to finally recoup some money mm-hmm. on music that was otherwise stolen, and that was one of the reasons why these agreements finally went through, was because they were actually going to, otherwise these companies are never getting money for those songs that were stolen.
Right.
Right. And this way they get a little money for it, which is better than no money at all. Or so I'm told. And I mean, if you've got 100 million people logging onto your service, and even only half of them use iTunes Match, that's 50 million people at $24.99 a year. That totals up pretty quickly to an impressive amount.
Yes, it is.
I'm pretty sure it's more than $7.
Might be as much as 10.
Could be. Wow. And you know what? Actually, dollars don't mean as much to me anymore.
Okay.
Because I just got back from Europe. And once you started making that conversion from euros to dollars in your head over and over, you're thinking, wow, I am so poor.
All right,
then. This hot dog is costing me a fortune.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of when I went to Canada. Anyway, so let's wrap this up. That Canada joke was from many years ago, actually, because, of course, now the Canadian dollar and the American dollar are very close.
I was just going to let somebody write in and correct you, but okay.
Well, no. They need to know. I went to Canada many years ago.
Okay.
That's why I'm referencing. Anyway, so we're wrapping up this conversation, and we'll keep an eye out. You know, the iCloud service will officially debut in the fall of 2011. So we will keep our eyes open and see what other things develop as we get closer to launch. And we'll play around with the iCloud service in the meantime and see what kind of nifty things we can do with the beta features. And then we'll probably bemoan the things that we can't do.
Yep.
Because we're tech people and we like to complain.
Plus, both Jonathan and I have gotten invites to be participants in the Google Music program.
Yeah, which
I need to play with that in the Amazon.
Yeah. I've uploaded music to Google, and I also am a customer with Amazon, so I've already got that as well. But I've just barely scratched the surface because I just haven't had the time to devote to really play with them. So yeah, we will definitely do more compare and contrast amongst them, especially once we book in that month long time span we have to upload all of our music to, to Google and Amazon. That's going to take a while. So we'll talk more about this in the future. And of course, cloud service is not going away, even with all the recent stories about hacking, and there's concerns about security and stability and privacy. Even with all of that, it's clear that cloud services are going to be around for a while. I mean, they've got some major backing behind them, so we're not going to see them disappear overnight, probably, unless there's some sort of catastrophic failure, in which case we have other things to worry about.
Well, maybe the sun will come and burn off the cloud.
So anyway, we're going to sign off now. If you guys have any topics you would like us to talk about, let us know on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW. Or you can send us an email, and that address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.